Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
What a religion it is. How beautiful it is for me to know that I'm the boss. I'm in charge of what becomes the experience of my life. And all I have to do is to line up with God in His truth, affirm the same, and let the Holy Ghost guide and lead me. Boy, I'm in for the big stuff. This is how I think. This is my cogitation. These are the cogitations in my spirit. This is the way I think. I think I'm beautiful. Ain't I? I am. And it is true. And guess what? Because I think I am, everybody would think so I am too. Because you see, I have the control. I build an atmosphere. I talk in line with what I believe. And it becomes my experience. What I'm sharing with you is so powerful. It's so powerful. Let me show you something. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Look at what it says. He says, let your conversation. Now, King James uses the word conversation, but the Greek word is anastrophe. It means conduct, your manner of life. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such thing as ye have. For he had said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, let your manner of life be without covetousness. For he had said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, that means he's telling me to be content with such as I am. That means all I have is all I need. Oh, and he tells me the reason why he gives such counsel. He says, because he had said he would never leave me nor forsake me. If he had stopped there, that would have been wonderful. But hey, he didn't stop there. He goes on to verse 6. He says, so that means this is not just a nice counsel from God to be content. He's about to show me a principle. So he says, he would never leave me nor forsake me. So that I can boldly say, oh. So that means the things that God says and was written were written so I can come in line with it and speak in consent to the same. Whoa. So the counsel is not just all what he wants to pass across. He wants to show me a principle. So, and I don't necessarily have to say verbatim what he says. Because he says, he had said, he would never leave me nor forsake me. Who said? He's in the book of Psalms. He was quoting the book of Psalms. The writer of Hebrews now says, so I can boldly say, the Lord is my help. Oh, the writer of Hebrews says, I can boldly say, the Lord is my help. Why? He predicated his confession on the promise of God's ever-abiding presence with him. He will never leave me nor forsake me. So I can boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. But I don't also necessarily have to say exactly what the writer of Hebrews says. For me, I could say, he had said, he would never leave me nor forsake me. Therefore, I am Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. So now, I can base my confession as a conclusion that I have gotten from a conviction in God's written word. Can you see that? So, confession is not just necessarily saying verbatim what is in the Bible. Confession is making affirmation that you make as a result of your conviction from the Word of God. So, if he had said he would never leave me, now I can boldly say. So, that's a principle. So, the principle is what he says and it is written is not enough. As far as God is concerned in his realm, it is done. But in your own experiential life, you make it become a reality by talking. Don't say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm an introvert. I don't like to talk. Really? Are you sure you're a child of God? Because the God you claim to be your father, he talks. Man of the dust of the spirit, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. A living soul, King James says. In the original Aramaic version of the Bible, he doesn't say living soul. He says, and man was made another speaking spirit. Because all through Genesis 1, we have saw him speaking. So when he made man in chapter 2, he says, and God made man another speaking spirit. That means another of the kind of the one we just finished making and creating in chapter 1. So So you are not an introvertish individual. I know, you know, King James says when God created man, he made man another living soul. But the original doesn't say living soul. He says another speaking spirit. So I don't know where you get that kind of personality where you say, well, I'm introvertish. And by the way, pastor, if people catch me talking like that, they're going to think I'm a madman. Well, that's some good madness, bro. Jesus spoke to wind. Jesus spoke to the sea. Jesus spoke to water. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Jesus spoke to disease that were not seen. If people thought he was mad then when he's doing that, well, it's not bad if they think you're mad too. It's a good madness, bro. Talk to your problem. Talk to your situation. The Bible says a man's belly shall be filled with the fruit of his lips. Your tongue were not giving you just to get some food into your tummy. Oh, no. Your tongue was giving you to catapult you to the next level in life. So when you come in line with the truth of God's word about you, you are made right with God. But when you confess and speak in consent with that, you are making a declaration. You're giving a decree. And guess what? Angels on assignments. Nature will begin to rearrange themselves. And you see your word will come to pass. Someone say, so pastor, how long am I going to say this thing before I start seeing all these things come to my time? Well, I don't know. Because God began to confess about the coming of Jesus in Genesis 3:15. He said it in Exodus. He said it in Leviticus. He said it in Numbers. He said it in Deuteronomy. He said it in Joshua. He kept saying it. Isaiah prophesied it. We didn't see nothing until 4,000 years after. The Bible says in the book of John 1 verse 14, and the word became flesh. That means if you will speak the word of God consistently, it will reach a crescendo where you can literally slice it with knife. In other words, where it becomes your reality. This is how to bridge the gap between your positional truth and your experiential truth. If he had said it, so if Bible says, Christ is made unto me wisdom. Oh, I am the wisdom of God. I have wisdom. Talk that way. Listen, the moment you are asked a question and you say, I don't know, something happens. Say, I don't know. The moment you say, I don't know, you are a speaking spirit. You just sent an information to every cell in your body that you don't know. So what happens is, all the files closes up. It's like a computer. The moment you said, I don't know, you sent an information, you sent an instruction. But when you say, I'll remember, let me think about it, I'll remember. I have a sound mind, I'll remember. What happens is, every cell in your body, everything goes into action. They are looking for the file. You mean that thing you told? Okay, I will remember. It's going to work now. All the files, they are looking for the files. But when you say, I don't know, everything shut down. If you're a student, I tell you, listen, as a student, there is no such thing as, well, pastor, I don't know, seems like some village people are after me. Anytime I go into exam, all I read, but I just forget everything. No. Let me show you something. Turning about the book of Luke 19, I want to show you something very powerful. Luke 19, student in the house, shout hallelujah. Luke 16 and verse 19. Luke 16 and verse 19. He says, I want you to read along with me. I want you to just watch. Just listen to me. There was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. Now, this was not a parable. Because as a Bible student, when I read the word of God back to back, when Jesus wanted to speak in parable, or even in the Old Testament, when I want to talk in parable, they use certain figures of speech. They use what we call simile. So you hear, the kingdom of God is like, or the kingdom of God is as if a man goes to the field to sow seed, and he goes to sleep and wakes up and found it grown. So they use the simile as or like. Am I correct, English student? Because I need to be corrected. I'm not an English person. But in this, it says, in parable, also, you don't use definite words in parable. In fact, in parable, you don't use specific things like name. Because a parable is just a throw along. The Greek word is It means parabole, parabole. That means a throw along. It's like you're speaking in dark speech. Let me use a very simple example. It means to speak in mystery. Mysterion. It means to speak with closed mouths. Some of you will agree with me, Taros, you know, you remember maybe one of your family member comes to visit you and they serve the person food and after the person is done eating, then he says, Taros, come and join me. You know, maybe it's your uncle or something. And your mom is there. And your mom says, Toyasi, okay, your uncle is calling you. Come and join your uncle in the food. And your uncle does, and your mom does like this. Come on, join your uncle. You know, far beyond what she's saying, you understood what she was saying. What? Remember? But I thought the ability to recall information is in my brain. But this man had been buried. Just his soul and his spirit. And Abraham says, remember in your lifetime. So the ability to recall, to remember information is not a product of your brain. Is a reality of your spirit. So refuse to accept the wrong idea that you are an average student. They say your IQ is low. No, don't believe that nonsense. It is a reality of your spirit. And you can awaken your spirit to that truth. How do you do so? You talk. I'm full of wisdom. I'm sagacious. I have amplitude of extraordinary wisdom. The Lord has been made unto me wisdom. I am the wisdom of God. In my business, I am full of witty invention. My heart is inditing of good matters. My mouth is the pen of the ready writer. Come on now. You talk that way. You are giving the reality of the truth of the word of God. You are addressing your spirit. You're talking to your soul. And sometimes you could be down for whatever reason. Maybe something bad happened and then you want to go. You educate your soul. You say, like David said, why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you disquieted within you? Hope thou in God. You want to slip into some form of unthankfulness? You remind your soul of what God has done. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all the benefit that God has done for me. Come on. You see, it's your responsibility because your mind, your inward man, your soul, if your mind is not educated, it can limit the expression of the spirit. So now your responsibility is to educate your soul. The lecturer says you had F in a course. Oh, they say you are a dullard. Then you begin to remind your spirit. Say, no. The Bible says, God, who of God, Christ, who of God is made unto me? Wisdom. I am sagacious. I have extraordinary amplitude of sagacity. I am not limited. You talk that way. So as you speak that way, don't say, well, listen. Let me tell you something. You pray in the spirit in the night before you go to bed. And then you get a sticky note beside you with a pen. That's faith. I need ideas for my business. I know what to do. There is one simple thing I'm going to do that will change everything. As I go to bed, you wake up with insight. You write. Because Christ is made unto you wisdom. But when you say, I don't understand, in this cafe, things does not work. Anytime, things just go up and down. No. You have wisdom. Yes, see, I have wisdom. Then number two. Oh, time is fast spent. I've just shared one and I have four to share with you. But were you blessed? Yes, Christ is my wisdom. Say, Christ is my wisdom. Maybe I just touch a little on righteousness. Can you give me some more meaning? Thank you. Anyway, it's not my fault. You guys didn't show me no time. Okay? He says, look at, let's go back to it. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. He says, but of him are ye in Christ. Are you in Christ? Yes. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Oh, righteousness. What is righteousness? You see, righteousness is God's granted ability for to a sinner to become right with him. To stand before him without any sense of guilt. Only God can do that. It has to be a gift. The right to stand before God. Because the Bible says, there is no one without sin. No one. The Bible tells us, it says, all our righteousness, there has what? filthy rags. So for us to stand before him without bowing our head or feeling guilty, it had to be a gift. What is a gift? A gift is a benevolence of love bestowed on another without any meritorious deed on their part. So Romans 5:17 says, and they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gifts of righteousness. So righteousness is a gift. God has given it to us freely to stand before him without meriting it. So now God in Christ has made me righteous. So now I can stand before God without feeling guilty because God doesn't see me through the eye of my past or through the eyes of my ability. He sees me through the eyes of Christ. If Christ is right before God, then I am right because I am in him. Can you see that? Again, righteousness. Oh, I like this definition of righteousness. It blesses my soul. He says righteousness is the judgment of God wrought in my spirit. That means the discernment of God, the ability to judge the God way is the right wiseness of God. Compound word. Righteousness is the right wiseness of God. So I judge the way God's judge. Come on now. You know, one of the attributes of the Messiah in Isaiah 11 verse 3, he says he will not judge with his senses. He will not judge with his eyes. He will make righteous judgment. So I see things the way God sees. You see, I discern things the way God discerns things. What does not make God angry doesn't make me angry. What makes God happy makes me happy. So I have a sense of judgment that is in line, in consent with God's will because I have become his child. And the righteousness of God has been wrought in my spirit. Hallelujah. So I see the way God sees. I talk the way God talks because I have been made the right wiseness of God. That's number two definition I like to give about righteousness. So because the righteousness of God is in me, even if I found myself trying to go crosswise his word, it has become an autopilot. I will find myself doing good again. He says, who of God is made unto me wisdom, righteousness. Righteousness, I told you, it means the right wiseness of God, the rotting of God's judgment in my spirit, the ability to see things the way God sees things. So now, the ability to do right is wrought in my spirit. So if I'm a lady and for some other reason I made a mistake by passing the night in a guy's room and then we had some illicit sex and I felt so bad about it. Now I know that I've done wrong, so I make a turnaround and I don't make the stupid mistake again. So if I was a lady and I was on my way to do something bad, I would just find myself turning back because righteousness has become a force in my spirit. Yeah. Oh, do you understand what I'm talking about? You see, I do not like to limit the definition of righteousness to just the rights or the ability to stand before God without any sense of guilt. Of course, that's a gift. Romans 5:17 says, they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. You see, a gift. And a gift simply means a benevolence of love that you bestow on another without they meriting it. So how did they merit it? But that is not all about righteousness. Righteousness is the judgment of God wrought in my spirit. The ability to discern the way God discerns. The ability to do right always. So I could be on my way going to do something wrong. I won't understand. There's a force. It's a force in my spirit that causes me to make a U-turn. And I head on the right way. Somebody said, but Pastor, how do I help sometimes? I like to do good, but I find myself doing bad. It's not a hard thing to do at all. Every wrong thing done, according to Jesus, begins first in the mind. So when it is right there in your cogitation, change your mind. And if your mind is proving stubborn, you know what you do. James 3 verse 2 says, if any man offend not in words, the same is a matured man. And then he likens in verse 3 to 4. He says, our tongue is like a lighter that kindles fire and controls our whole body. Apostle James likens the tongue to a rudder with which you use to control the big ship, that even though as small as your tongue is, you can control the movement of your life. So if you find yourself going wrong way, you know you're going to your boyfriend place and you know what is going to happen is going to be illicit sex. So what you do, you start talking, no, I am the righteousness of God. I will not do this. You find yourself turning back. It's a force in your spirit. The ability of God to do right. You have it in you. So because you have it, it has been written in God's word. And because it is in God's word doesn't mean it to be your experience. You have to affirm it. You have to say it. The righteousness of God is in my spirit. I have the judgment of God. I do right. I have the ability to do right always. Say aloud, amen. Amen. This is your reality.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.